With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What is up, friendos, and welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, the very first guest episode of the week. We have got KC Bubba Bediantric. It's Bubba in the house. He's going to be joining me, not me and Bogman, because on this episode today, Bogman is going to be high flying, limousine riding, jet flying,
woo!
Hopefully not in a hurricane, son of a gun. He's trying to get out of Texas, but apparently there are major storms. By the time you're listening to this, we'll kind of know what it's going to be. But Bogman is heading to Arizona. He's Arizona bound, my friends. And we actually might be hanging out at the point of this episode dropping, as long as you make it.
That's right. Yeah, I'm heading to the airport as soon as we're done. But there are crazy thunderstorms all through, I guess, the middle of the country here. So I'm trying to bob and weave those. I'm trying to do the Floyd Mayweather and avoid those and get out. So hopefully with a bag of money. That'd be great. Yeah. But
you can read your ticket.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It says on time. Show your stripes.
What was that thing? What was that video? Is an all-timer.
Oh, it was Floyd Mayweather trying to read a radio spot. And he's they're showing it to him. It is maybe the funniest thing I've ever heard. It's also very sad at the same time. But like, you know, knowing Floyd Mayweather's not a great dude.
And also knowing he has just all the money in the world. Like,
And 50 Cent roasted him for it after that, saying that, hey, look, I'll give 50 grand to whatever charitable organization you want if you go on Jimmy Kimmel and read one page of Cat in the Hat, you know. So that kind of stuff was outstanding.
50 Cent, kind of an all-time troll, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Remember he bought up all of Ja Rule's tickets on Groupon for like $5,000 so no one would be in the front row of his concert. So funny, dude.
Yeah, that's a very good he's definitely one of the big all-time trolls out there, which, you know, we just like, how often do you see the in-person trolls that exist? They're not a ton. But on the episode today, like I said, I will be hanging out with the Bubs. Bogman and I are going to be going through a few of the latest things that are going down. Actually, as we're recording this episode, you may know more. Jazz Chisholm was taken out of the game, which is not good as far as an injury goes. And we are back because this is the first in-season full-on scheduled episode. We are back with the voicemails. Yes, we have got your voicemails. I will say this. It started off very nice in the week. New people, voicemails early, and it died. I don't know if everybody forgot. We did a little nudge, and we were able to get, I think, a very healthy voicemail bag. But just a reminder, inthisleague@gmail.com is where you send those to make sure that we continue doing this because I would love to keep doing the voicemails, but we got to hear from everybody. But we do have a bunch today. I want to remind you guys, though, to come and check us out over at InThisLeague.com on the Patreon. InThisLeague.com will take you there. You can sign up today. As of Friday, I will have a Dynasty and the Prospect update coming into April. It's kind of like the final season one. And then now we're in season stuff. You guys can check that out. Would love to have you on there. You can get in the GroupMe rooms. You can hang out with all the dudes, whether it's baseball, football, talking gambling, talk about, we have a TV show room where Bogman hasn't done it yet, but Bogman unleashed about 15 minutes of why The Mandalorian was the worst episode that's ever been released of anything Star Wars. Pretty bad. Could come and have that conversation. InThisLeague.com. Come and sign up today. You're also directly supporting us, and we're like super thankful and super appreciative when you guys do so. InThisLeague.com. Any Mandalorian things you want to share here?
No. Let's just get to the baseball. Let's stay positive. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's stay positive. Eloy Jimenez is hurt. There's your big positive. He is back on the IL. Dude, I'm going to tell you.
How did this happen? I didn't even see it. I went to bed. I watched all the stuff. I went to bed and then I wake up and Eloy is magically hurt.
Yeah. Well, I think that's how it goes. I got to tell you, I'm just glad, and this is making it about me, I'm so just glad that this isn't Buxton and DeGrom, but we are walking into the first week and hurt guys are getting hurt and it's Jazz and Eloy Jimenez. By the way, the Jazz one was him sliding into second base. Flew into second base.
Right as we fired up. Yeah.
Literally, we were about to start, and it looked like he got smacked in the head by a shin, but he was also grabbing his wrist. And this was on a stolen base attempt.
He was also acting like he couldn't walk. Like, I don't know what is going on with Jazz. It didn't look good, whatever it was.
No, and he was taken out of the game. And this is, you know, I guess I'm making a point about, like, this is the injury prone stuff that happens. He is known for his injury proneness. And I don't know, Eloy Jimenez is up on the Buxton train. If he's not, he should be into the like perpetual injuries. And he is out 2 to 3 weeks, which sucks. And what was the official? I got to go look. I didn't even see the official diagnosis of what it was. And I don't know if it's 2 or 3 weeks before he's back or 2 or 3 weeks before he's evaluated.
I believe it was hurt feelings.
Oh, it was hurt feelings. Why?
Yeah.
He's not playing in the infield.
Same thing as Tyler O'Neill.
Both, yeah, it's a low grade left
feeling strain.
hamstring strain. Oh, yeah, I saw the Tyler O'Neill stuff. He's pissed because his manager didn't like that he tried to go home.
Yeah, he wasn't base running. You know, he made mistakes base running. So, you know, Ollie called him out on it. And yeah, and he wasn't happy about that. So, you know, yeah,
I mean, I saw that, too. That was a little weird. But the Eloy stuff, they're saying that this looks like he's going to miss the 2 to 3 weeks. So it's not like a 2 to 3 week and then we readjust. It's
too early for this stuff. Come on. Well, stay healthy. Everybody love everybody. Come on.
Wasn't it, too, like this is not supposed to happen when he starts DHing? And there you go.
Yeah. 100%. Also, didn't Jazz send out some tweet before the season started that said, like, what are y'all going to do when I play 150 this year? Whatever, right?
We're
like,
gonna do nothing,
is that
Jazz
happening?
I don't think we're going to do anything, Jazz. Yeah,
I'm going to ride my unicorn to Imagination Land.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
That's what's going to happen. So,
dude.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league,
this is the way. Stop touching things.
How, based on how many injuries you've seen in Eloy, how old do you think Eloy is?
He's 78 years old.
Dude, he feels, and there is no player that feels like they're 35, but in fact is like 26. I think. What is his actual age? There is no chance based on, he is 26 years old. He has had the amount of injuries that you feel like a 35-year-old baseball player would have.
I found the Jazz tweet. This is from March 25th. It's so funny, when I play 155 games this year, the bandwagon going to be so real, and I don't want to hear it. Your tweets have been bookmarked. Hashtag keep doubting.
You should retweet that.
It's so mean. It is so mean to retweet this. I don't know.
I'm just saying you should retweet it, though. I think that's the retweet.
I want to see, like, oh, it only shows you the people. I was like, if I click on retweets, will it show me who has retweeted this? So, and then right after that, it was someone talking smack and Jazz answered to them. So, I don't know.
I love Jazz.
I love Jazz too, but Jesus Christ, you know, here we are three games in and some dirt hits his eye and he's like, oh my God.
This is not going to be good for my predictions of where I think he's going to end up being or anything like that. But yeah, it's bad news. We'll see what it is. Hopefully it's not a bunch of anything, but he was taken out of the game. Eloy already on the IL, so we're already feeling just all the repercussions of everything. Another thing that's going down today, it's kind of almost dumb for us to talk about, but Grayson Rodriguez got called up. He's going to start. You guys in the future, you know how he did or didn't. Well, he didn't do.
You and Bubba might know how well he does.
Does the game? When's the game go?
I feel like everything's early today. So,
oh, you know what? Yeah, maybe me and Bubba will talk about it, because now that I'm looking at it, we will probably have an insight. So yeah, listen to Bubba and I in a little bit. We'll talk about it. My early guesstimation is, like, kind of don't feel like it's going to go super great. You know, you're going to have Simeon and like Corey Seager. I think Corey Seager's going to get a hold of him. But I mean, apparently he needed one start to become the man.
Way to hype up this really prospect, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I just don't know.
Like, it's definitely not because Kyle Bradish and everybody else on their team is falling apart. So, you know, it's because he was so good in that first start. That's what it was.
It changed everything. He's now the human being that they thought they were. Look how mean they were. That's now, by the way, the way, also, apparently he's still going to be eligible for the compensation thing. Like, I don't understand it. I don't think any of us fully do, but like, apparently you can come up within the first week and you're eligible still for the rookie compensation if he were to win rookie of the year.
So okay, well, that makes way more sense of why they wouldn't have on the opening day roster and then pull him up immediately.
Yeah,
because I thought that was so stupid, but now it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, well, Bubba and I guess we'll talk about it because we'll have a little bit more on it. Sandy Alcantara back to being just dominant. Ooh. A complete game shutout in his second start of the season. So there's another Marlins thing for you. Absolutely unreal. This one is, I put out warning signs about this, just like, just everybody know this. Never did I think it would actually happen. Will Smith got the first save opportunity, but isn't Jose Leclerc still like dealing with a little bit?
Yeah, like his velo was down in his last spring game. So I think maybe that has something to do with it. I think what this says is we don't know what's happening here, right? Like, we're just not going to know what the deal is. So
he did pitch in, it looks like the opening game. This was on the 30th. He pitched and he walked one, struck out one. He has not pitched since, and it's April 5th. So I wonder if there's a health reason in there, but Bochy likes Will Smith and brought him in before and he got the save opportunity. So like, the question is, are you going to go out and try to acquire? Like, is Will Smith someone you want to prioritize maybe in Fab this coming week? Obviously you're going to get like probably one or two more opportunities to see, does Leclerc come back out? Is it Will Smith? Is this going to be a rotation? You'll know a little bit more, but like, your early reaction to seeing Will Smith get a save, are you going to go after him?
Yeah, I think you probably need to, especially if you're one of those teams that is lacking in saves. I think it would be very, very smart to go ahead and do that. So yeah, I would go out and I wouldn't break the bank or anything for him. I would do, who was it again? They got $400. AJ Puck.
AJ Puck. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going out and spending 40%.
40%.
Yeah. Maybe 10%. You know, 5%. Somewhere in that neighborhood. I would try to get him. I just don't think he's going to be the closer the whole year. Like, if the Rangers have success, they'll probably trade for somebody in the back end. And if they don't, they're probably trading these guys out. So kind of seems to be the way things go. So yeah, I mean, I try to get him now, but I'm not breaking the bank for him.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be helpful into this coming weekend because you're going to see some other, you might see it today with DeGrom pitching as we're recording this. You might see another opportunity come out there. It's just very curious that like we've gone 5 days and maybe I just missed the news, 5 or 6 days without Leclerc. I don't think he's healthy. And I kind of do think he's going to still get an opportunity, but I'm now wondering, is this maybe more of a committee with Will Smith? Like I think Will Smith might get a handful of saves. So I think you need to be comfortable with that. Will Smith, a lot more doable in a save holds league. I will throw that out there. I think that one's a lot more doable. A couple others, Rendon officially suspended 4 games. It was actually 5, and then it was brought down 1 for grabbing the fan and acting like a psycho and trying to rip him and hit him and do whatever he was trying to do. So he got 4 games. Apparently, he said he talked to the guy, and they apologized like to each other or something like that. And sure. I don't know. They're just like, hey, sorry, buddy. I imagine I would have given anything to actually have heard that conversation. Like,
yeah,
this, he's contrite.
I mean, what is the point? Like, what is the point of calling him now and saying, hey, I apologize. I really wasn't trying to beat you up or threaten you. Like, what do you mean? And you know,
sorry, I didn't hit you.
I don't know, you know, and everyone complaining about the stadium. I mean, go to anything in spring. The players are literally surrounded by the fans. They're all over the place. How do you think Welsh gets pictures with everybody? So to say that, oh, well, the fans shouldn't be that close. Give me a break. They were just closer than that. They were shoulder to shoulder with the fans for a month.
It's a little different though when you're like in actual like stadiums and guys are boozing up and they're acting like a-holes. Like you don't have guys that are out there like razzing players on the backfields and stuff like that. That isn't that isn't like a big thing that's going
on. My buddy Joe might disagree with you. I got a story about that. So
we were sitting, I mean, there's some. I'm not saying there isn't.
I mean, he was hammer timed. You know, we had done the let's go to an early game. Let's go get drinks before the late game. Let's drink beer in the parking lot before the late game. And then let's drink in the late game. Like we were having
our
great.
This is our today as people are listening to this. This will be today for us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we were having a great time and somebody came in to warm up for Cleveland and he's a big Cleveland fan. And I think it was like Chris Perez. Was that a guy in Chris Perez? I can't remember his first name.
Pretty generic name, but
yeah, but anyway, he's warming up and you know, my buddy's a Cleveland fan. He grew up in Cleveland and everything. And we're sitting at Salt River Field. You know how there's that rail, like right next to, it's right next to the bullpen. And this guy's thrown in the bullpen and my buddy Joe, we're up on the next one, the second highest one. That where you can still see in the bullpen, but we can see all the people lined up there. And he goes, well, Chris Perez effing sucks anyway. And he is so loud.
Yeah.
Loud. And he's loud, like at a normal volume. Right. But now this is hammer time, Joe, at a loud volume. And everyone on the railing looks up at him. The bullpen pitchers all look up at him. And then Perez looks up at him. So, yeah. It was, I was like, all right, dude, we need to get the hell out of here.
We're like, way up, going to hit the old dusty trail.
Yeah, I made sure to walk straight away just so I was out of everybody's view so they couldn't see me.
You and I have gone to a lot of games together, and I play up when we get in. It's one of those things, like you and I can be very fun to be around because we both play up to each other. I've definitely chirped, and there's two players I've chirped, and you have joined me at least in one of them.
Chris Perez.
Will Myers. We always chirp Will Myers. We've kind of stopped. And Mike Napoli, who's not around anymore because Mike Napoli was friends with
the Welsh was chanting Rachel Starr at Mike.
Rachel
Napoli
Starr. Yeah, like they're very good friends. They're very 25 good friends.
Minutes.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
I don't know.
You would think, like, if you were picking one of us to have chanted that at a player, it would have been me. But it was definitely Welsh. So.
But I'm not like mean. Well, we're a little bit mean about.
Here, let me ask you this. Bigger fan of Mike Napoli.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
Or Rachel Starr.
You're asking me? Yes. Who am I a bigger fan of?
Yeah.
Rachel Starr.
Okay.
All right. Rachel Starr is up on the list. She's kind of gone. It's a new age now, but Rachel Starr was up on the list. So no.
You're showing your age there.
Not a big Mike Napoli fan or anything like that. But
he's funny.
Is he?
Yeah, you don't remember him like going around partying after the Red Sox won the World Series with no shirt on in Boston? Like, hilarious.
Yeah, no, I understand it. I think he commented too. He was like, oh yeah, we're just good friends. I'm like, yeah,
me too.
Mm-hmm. All right. A couple other pieces here. Liam Hendricks, I think, literally just completed his last round of chemo today. They has a video out there of him ringing the bell, which is a great sign. And it does look positive that he might be able to get back with the team under that 60 days. As we're watching this, well, I guess it's not right now, but the Braves rotation is fascinating. Max Fried's on the IL. Schuster got them titties lit, and Dodd is out there. He was out there yesterday, and they've got Bryce Elder out. And the Braves scored 3 runs in the first here, and Bryce Elder was able to get through the top 3 of the Cardinals, which is crazy. So that's where the world is right now. Garrett Whitlock is planning to be back with the Red Sox on Tuesday. So that might line him up as a 2-starter as well after his little rehab stint. Rehab stint.
I mean, it was kind of an easy one. You know, he kind of got hurt early in spring and rested and got through his rehab starts safely. So let's go get him in that rotation. Yeah. Better than Corey Kluber's looked pretty bad. We'll see how he looks today, but didn't look good in his first start.
No, I mean, that whole, like, just think about that rotation. It's like Chris Sale, Corey Kluber, James Paxton. It's like 2014's, like, number one stunners. Maybe. Yeah. 17. Corey Kluber was kind of a late, bloomer, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Wasn't he? Yeah, for
like
sure.
30s, he pumped or something. Other injuries. The saddest of sad news. Lars Nootbaar was placed on the IL with a thumb bruise. Miguel Vargas, day-to-day with right thumb soreness. A lot of thumbs out there. Can we give some thumbs
stuff. Shout out Dan Bespris, Jonas Nader. We used to have a lot of basketball players getting thumb injuries. So I'd say thumb stuff. And Dan and I made a bet about like 25 players or something having to miss games because of thumb injuries. And I won it in like the first 2 months. It was crazy.
Really? Yeah. Is the thumb the most injured appendage?
It's definitely the most injured finger. And because I think if you injure most of the other fingers, you can usually do stuff. I mean, remember, didn't Trey Turner play a whole season lifting his index finger off the bat because it was broken or whatever? Like he had a whole season of that, but you can't, if you don't have the thumb, you can't wrap your hand around, the bat. You can't, you know, it hurts to slide and do anything like that. It hurts to throw the ball.
Is it a thumb technically not like a finger?
Yeah. I guess. Are we doing this? Look, this is hot dog is a sandwich, dude.
The frustration Bogman had because I dropped a super technicality here that he had to agree with.
I mean, it is just, this is hot dog is a sandwich, is a thumb a finger. You know,
really?
Is like, is the sun a star? You know, like this is, people want to find semantics and everything. I mean, it's a finger. It's on your hand.
But thumbs are like the human thing because it's like cats don't have thumbs.
Right. Yeah, it's the most it's the most valuable finger. Yeah, it's
MVF. So that is the true that's the true difference between humans and animals is our thumb are not finger thumbed.
Thumb stuff. That's right.
What would it technically be? What would thumb stuff really be? What is it called?
What do you mean?
Like if it's not a finger technically.
I think you said an appendage. Yeah.
Oh, thumbs are weird then.
I mean, everyone just calls them fingers, but
thumbs kind of weird me out.
You don't remember the Ringer? You don't remember the guy from the Ringer? He's like, guess how many fingers I have? Then someone said 10, and he goes, no, I got 8 and 2 thumbs.
Oh, no. Did someone see? Okay.
That's the Ringer. You don't remember the Ringer with Johnny Knoxville? You don't remember what that was?
I thought you were talking about the Ringer, the podcast.
The website?
Canceled. Yeah,
no.
The guy that got canceled.
Oh, really?
I didn't. Yeah, Jonah something. Remember, he's like a total dirtbag.
No.
He's someone that Joe from you would probably take care of, you know, or Dexter would take care of or something like that.
Oh my God.
That's the type of guy that he was. Yeah.
I mean, this is a legend, right?
I mean, I don't think it is. I'm people know who I'm talking about. No, I didn't. I was when I hear The Ringer, I don't immediately think of Johnny Knoxville's movie. I think about the
it had the website. Best line ever. When the F did we get ice cream was one of the best lines ever. Are you kidding me?
No. No, I'm back on thumbs being fingers then, if that was what the guy did. If it was
by the way, I looked up a picture of Chris Perez. It was absolutely Chris Perez.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that was Chris. The other injuries, Johnny Cueto, IL. See ya. Kenta Maeda pulled from his start with fatigue. I think he did say that he was okay, though. Joey Wendell, went to the IL with intercostal strain. That's like one of my favorite strains, the intercostal one. Yeah. Josh Smith was hitting the face on Monday.
You're supposed to call it instead of calling it your abs.
Oh, does it have a different
intercostal
name?
No, I'm just I'm doing the Welsh right here.
Oh, is
a thumb, not a finger. Yeah.
Kyle Bradish left after taking a comebacker off his ankle, and Gunnar Henderson was out of the lineup with a sore right hand. This is the day after he hit a homer that he hit a little bomb there. I want to talk about a couple of these guys before you go away, Boggs, and you'll be back for voicemails. We'll probably do this every week, breaking down a couple players. Let me ask you, who the hell is Jason Vossler?
A guy that mashes righties, apparently, right? Isn't that what his, or is it he mashes lefties? I can't remember.
He's a
platoon player that is just mashing right now.
Yeah, he has been in baseball since 2014, made his debut last year. He was originally, I remember him being drafted with the Cubs, and I remember his time being with the Cubs. Did not know in 2019 he was with the Padres. Did not know. I do actually remember him with the Giants now that I'm thinking about it. With Cincy, he's doing the Drury thing. There's always a guy that does the Drury thing with the Reds, and it's Jason Vossler this year. Three homers, a .333 average, 7 RBI, a 800 ISO right now, which just is
like
stupid.
We all predicted.
But he's got a 33% strike rate, which is, you know, not great. I'm going to throw it out there, Boggs. I don't know if you want to pull it back. Not great. It's not the best. A 40% hard hit rate, though. This is where it's a little concerning, where everybody's like, oh my God, Jason Vossler.
Oh my God, it's Vossler.
He has a .330 batting average with an expected batting average of .206. So,
yeah, I mean, look, Chris Shelton, you know, like we get these guys every single year, don't we? Sometimes it's a guy that's already popular and he's having a great start of the season or whatever. Sometimes it's, last year was Julio. Julio was just unbelievable the whole first month. But
Julio, a little different.
Of course. Right. So that's what I'm saying is like, is this going to last? Probably not. Do you want to pick up Vossler and run him out there right now? Sure. You got that last spot that you can dump someone and add Vossler? Absolutely do it.
Yeah.
You gotta have Will Smith or Vossler. Like if you have one spot that's kind of a floating spot, whatever, you'd rather take Will Smith just for the season long opportunity.
This might be one of those things that you're sure. Like I'm wrong with. Like here are the positives with him. 109.4 max EV. That's cool. 20% barrel rate, hard hits in the 40s, which is the highest of his career. And hits in Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, I mean, we saw what Brandon Drury did. The bigger things I look at is just like that's quite a difference between his batting average and expected batting average. His ex-WOBA is barely over 300 as well. Like he's going to come back down to earth, but Cincinnati just props up these players and he's getting a bunch of playing time. He's fun if he's free. If he's anything more than free, probably not going to do it, but the home run totals have been big and that's fun. Low BABIP and stuff like that, but I'm not super into that. Here's a breakdown though. I want to break down both of these guys. It's a shocker. It's going to be a little Diamondback centric here for a couple minutes. Dre Jameson real quick. So Dre Jameson came in and got a 2-inning save, which kind of blew all of our minds. Blew my mind, too, because I felt so assured that Madison Bumgarner was going to the IL because he stinks and that Dre Jameson would take his spot because he ended up replacing him. Little did I know, silly, that was not going to happen.
Silly goose.
They said Bumgarner's fine, LOL. And Dre Jameson came in for the save opportunity. What was different about it, though, and his first start, or that 66-something pitch thing he did, over 50% slider rate. This appearance, he was struggling. I think he gave up a homer in it early on. He was over like 50% fastball. And then he ends the game with 3 straight sliders after they met, and he was able to get Nelson Cruz out. And again, coming back to this, He ended up having the second most swing and misses in the game. He had the exact amount of swing and misses that Yu Darvish had. Five.
Crazy.
And the slider.
Darvish looked like garbage, by the way.
He looked like, we're going to talk about him in a second. The slider on Dre, 75% swing rate, a 44% CSW rate. I asked you ahead of time, and you had a good observation for it. I was like, why was he not throwing the slider at the same degree when the good success was out there? And why don't you tell everybody what you attributed it to?
Well, I think Gabby Moreno called the first game, and then Jose Herrera was calling this game. And I think it's one of those things where, yes, most of the time, there's Corbin giving up another bomb. I think most of the time, the starting pitcher is going to call the game. That's the whole point of the you know, pitch thing that they have on the glove and all that, is for the starter to do that. But watching opening day, I cannot remember which broadcast I was listening to. They were talking about some of the younger pitchers, or pitchers that just are used to a catcher calling a game. They don't want to call the game. That'll get in their own head. They want to just throw what the catcher is calling. So they'll let the catcher call the game. And I'm wondering, Torrey is kind of an older guy, kind of an older school guy. I'm wondering if he wants the catcher to call the pitches for these younger players. And that's why you got a different mix from Herrera versus Moreno. So maybe, I'm not sure.
Maybe they got to fix that though. So let me ask you then. I think either way, if Dre is still sitting out there, you got to pick him up. He's a speculative pickup. But what side do you think it's going to lean on? Do you think it's going to get him being the very first replacement start? Or do you think they might line him up to be a closer? Because Scott McGuff had blew the save. He didn't get this opportunity here. And Dre was pretty outside of that first little weird thing, but he.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Wasn't throwing the slider, and then he gets Nelson Cruz out to finish out the game and get the save. What side do you think he takes?
Starter. I think he's going to get an opportunity to start the first time somebody gets hurt. Like you said, you know, we thought it was going to be Bumgarner and it's not. But I would say probably a starter because I think Miguel Castro is probably the best to put in that ninth inning role, but he's also the best relief pitcher right now. So you probably want him for leverage. But when Manaphy comes back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
I think it'll be Manaphy. So I think
you think Manaphy's going to be he's going to get the saves.
I do because I mean Scott McGuff already has proven that he can't do it. I mean 50% is not good enough. Now look, you know maybe he's going to be locked down for the rest of the year. Whatever, you couldn't go back to him today. You've already overtaxed this bullpen. You know I mean, I'm thanking God we got the day off today to save the bullpen for tomorrow. So yeah, I mean, Gallen hasn't looked as good. Merrill Kelly's velo was down in his first start. I think you want to save that bullpen as much as you can. So I would move Dre Jameson to a starter's role as soon as Madison Bumgarner melts down. That has got to be what it is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I just think either way, it almost doesn't matter at this point. Is I think you just pick him up because if they do.
I mean, if Fott is pitching starter, well, they may bring him up and keep Dre Jameson in a relief role, but
he did not pitch well in his first start. Yeah. Four homers, but I was talking about this on Prospect One, but 70% fastball Fott was. That's not who he is. I don't know what that was about. It was 70% fastball, didn't have his other
stuff. Because Jose Herrera was calling his game. That's what
still had a 40% CSW or 40% K percentage, and then he had like a 36% CSW or something like that. So Fott's still fine. But I think either way, you jump into that with Dre Jameson, because I think it can end up paying off. What the hell with Darvish? Darvish did this that year you and I went, and he had like a no-hitter through six, but he walked like five. Every single thing was down across the board. His command was dog crap. Are you going to chop it up as he clearly was not ready? And that was the problem with this, because he didn't look ready. His command stunk. And yeah. I'm not even joking you here, just real quick for your answer. Darvish was down 5 miles per hour on his cutter. His sweeper was down almost 2 miles per hour. His splitter was down 1.5 miles, and his fastball was down 1.5 miles. He had a 16% whiff rate. But he couldn't throw a damn strike.
Maybe I was a little harsh on him for calling him a crybaby for not getting enough innings with Japan. So maybe he's not ready. Maybe they do need to stretch him out a little bit more, give him at least another side session, skip a start, do whatever. I'm also like, he was getting squeezed and was frustrated very quickly. Obviously, the Padres had issues with the umpire yesterday. Bob Melvin got kicked. Manny Machado got kicked. In that second inning or first inning or whatever it was. Yeah.
And he called the ump a douchebag. Did Bob Melvin's reaction to being called a douchebag when the ump was like, he called me a douchebag. Bob Melvin dropping his head was like a total dad moment where he wanted to laugh.
He's such a mealy mouth loser anyway. No, he didn't. That's what Bob Melvin sounds like to me.
I didn't realize you're so mad.
I am so sick of Bob Melvin, mealy mouth loser. That guy,
the mad scientist.
Yeah. You call him the mad scientist because the lineup sucks. So, and he puts the wrong thing in there every night, never knows when to pull a pitcher. Yeah. Good luck, San Diego. So have a great time. But yeah, I
Ron Burgundy there.
Yeah. I mean,
go after yourself, San Diego.
Look, I just, it was more than one thing, but yeah, the velo was bad for Darvish. So hopefully he gets it straight.
Worried though? Like,
yeah.
This clearly, to
I mean, not enough to go like, trade him or anything, because you're not going to get anything for him now. I'm worried.
Would you trade four if you think it's nothing? Which I guess you don't think it's nothing. So
I don't think it's nothing. No, so I wouldn't go trading for him right now. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of those things where it's a bad start and you kind of have to keep yourself in a holding pattern, you know, because, you know, same thing with like Chris Bassett had a terrible first start and his velo was down. You're not dumping him yet, you know. Maybe Miles Michaelis after the second start.
I don't think I'm worried. Yeah, Miles Michaelis is garbage. I don't think I'm worried about Darvish. You know, his outings were, what is it, like essentially relief in the WBC, and then he was going in the backfields up against one or two major leaguers. That wasn't enough. I don't worry about this type of stuff. I think it's a buying opportunity. I think
that stuff has nothing to do with velo, though. That's why I'm actually worried. Like, if he had no velo issues, then I wouldn't be worried at all. I'd be like, all right, bad start, didn't have command, didn't get enough innings, whatever. Velo being down is concerning.
Well, here's a plus. His splitter was up almost 300 RPMs, rotations. Cutter was up over 200. He was putting a little bit more juice on it, and he couldn't control it. So I think I'm a buy. Same thing was happening with Gallen. Everyone's like, oh, worried about Gallen? Gallen? No, Gallen's fine. Like, don't worry about it. We're going to get back through it. Everything was pretty standard in his start. And he just got beat a little bit. He got beat up a little bit in the first two. Once you get into the midseason, he's going to start rolling. He's going to absolutely start rolling. So I am not worried about Gallen. The last one, I want to throw this out there, because I know I'm the resident like Corbin Carroll guy. And I was a little bit negative about Jake McCarthy. I'm a little bit indifferent about both right now. I'm going to be honest with you. Carroll looked horrific in that Darvish start. And that's someone he has seen and hit. He was he did get squeezed a little bit. One bad strikeout call that I saw, like I think it was like Pitching Ninja put out, and it wasn't even a strike. And McCarthy had been so bad and then was good. They both have one under them. They both have one essential game under him. Corbin's came all with he had the three hits and the three stolen bases. I think that was in the same game. And McCarthy did everything pretty much like yesterday. Are you worried about either one of them?
No, I'm not. Like Corbin, I don't like the batting spot, but he also hit a homer yesterday. Like, he's fine. McCarthy, I hate that he's hitting .900, but I do think as soon as Cattell gets hurt, there'll be opportunity for him to move up in the order, you know. So, and if he's playing well, and I mean, look, We saw opening day in LA, he made kind of a low effort play on a ball to the outfield. He literally dove into the stands yesterday to get a ball. So
that was an awesome one. It fell on his head too.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, whatever the rust was there, it's gone now. And Torrey is letting those dudes fly. I mean, he is letting them steal bases at will. So if McCarthy gets on, he's taken second almost every single time. So I'm not worried about either one of those dudes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, McCarthy's hitting 188 and it's kind of all come in one game, but he's not striking out. What I don't love, Corbin Carroll does have a 26% K rate, zero walks. And he's hitting 261. He's got the three stolen bases and the homer, but he's got to get refined. I don't know what's going on with him. I got to be honest with you, I kind of think hitting five is different. I want to see him hit at the top of the lineup and see if that helps the approach a little bit, because he gets a little bit early swingy, which I want to happen a little bit less, and I want him to take. My problem is, and this is a little thing I'm going to put out to everybody, I'm not trying to always talk positive about Carroll, 0% walk rate, they're not going to put him in the leadoff spot. And yeah, they were gushing over Josh Rojas. Gushing over Josh Rojas.
And he was 3 for 3 yesterday.
And he was 3 for 3. They love him. So I am going to acknowledge that there's a little bit of concern there, because if Rojas is the against righty leadoff guy who they love, it keeps Carroll out. And I don't know how they're going to change that. Here's an only little thing to think about.
Only fans.
Maybe against righties, Carroll leads off, Cattell, and then it goes to Rojas hitting 3. And then they move down Gurriel and Walker. Maybe Gurriel hits 5 in that lineup. That's how to do it. But I am worried about Corbin's lack of patience, because the K rate is not where you want it and no walks. So I'm going to monitor that. There's nothing anyone can do with any of it, but I'm just putting it out there to, you know, I was just curious where you are with both of those guys. I am still worried about McCarthy, but his defensive hustle, I just don't know how they take him out of it. I don't know how they take him out anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's looked so good on the field that he's going to stay in there. And we're only through 6 games, you know, so I'm not really panicking about too many players yet.
Yeah, and you don't want to do too much panicking. All right, friends, let's take a break. When we come back, it's the Bubba. Casey Bubba is going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about some more player breakdowns. Also see who is on Bubba's radar as far as, like, you know, early concerns and early excitement. And we will do it right after this.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Look at us. Who would have thought?
Not me.
Look at this. I'm getting benched with Bubba. That's right. It is Petey Entrick on Twitter. It's my boy, Casey Bubba, in the house. All the pods, all the things. Bubba, thank you, brother, for hanging out with me. No Bogman, though. He told me he hates you and he no longer wants to be around you. So now you're a Welsh guy. Just letting you know.
Yeah, apparently there's now a weight limit on ITL, so it's me or him from now on is what the conclusion I've come to. But thanks for having me. I spent enough time with that guy on the mic anyways. I'd rather talk to you, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't done that. Can you imagine if there's a weight limit to podcasting? The only weight limit is on the chairs. That's why my chairs are always squeaking there.
I'll be honest. Yeah, mine squeaks. It's one of my biggest fears is one day my chair's just going to collapse while I'm recording a show.
Happened to me. I caught myself. That's why I have a new chair and it's already squeaking. So I'm testing the limits of the weight. But ITL, luckily, we don't have to test the limits of the weight. Bench with Bubba. What's been going on? So you're down a pod because you had you and the bat flip pod. Isn't the bat flip pod down now? And it's you with.
Well,
you're not down a pod. Yeah, because pitcher.
That's the thing. Right. Yeah. Well, no, but Bubba and the bat flip, we would record and put out on both of our feeds, my Bench with Bubba feed and his feed. So it technically didn't lose it, but I lost my normal weekly co-host for that show. It's like I had a new guest on Tuesday of this week, and I'll do that throughout the season. So yep, he decided he wanted to be a family man, which I give big kudos to. Go do your thing, man. Like that's awesome. I couldn't deny that one, and he'll be back from time to time. But yeah, that one is down, but everything else, yeah, nothing stops right now.
Yeah, I know. You've been rocking daily over on Pitcher List, which is great. Bubba is he's a must follow. One of my favorite people on the planet. If anything, you know what? I just had Pisapia. I just hung out with Joe Pisapia 2 days ago. I'm getting to see Bogman today as people are listening. I could complete the trifecta if you would just come out here. If you would just come out here and I could have the trifecta of like 1 week of seeing all of my best friends. I'm just asking you, don't be selfish and please fly out here to me.
Last minute, Easter weekend. What else is going on? Like, I'll figure it out.
What are you gonna do for Easter? Exactly. No, I'm glad to talk with you, Bubba, on our hit for the first part of the season. We get to go over a few things. We're gonna get some insights on, I think, some you know, hot named players over this first week, and I'm going to get your take on them. But what I do want to ask you first off, and hopefully I already pre-told you the players, so these guys should not come up, but I want to get your take in all of the chaos that is the first week, because everybody is hyper-focused on, oh my God, the world is falling, or oh my God, victory lapping. We're going to get humbled in both sides of it. I've been humbled on some gambling stuff recently. The humbling coming, it comes in the first week or so. But first up, player or two that you are most impressed with in this first week and that you are buying this success?
I guess I'll do a hitter and a pitcher. And for some people, they're like, oh, this guy's already good or whatever. But if you listen to any of my content, you know they were like just off my draft board because of costs or whatever. So one guy I'm going to buy after playing five or six baseball games is Xander Bogaerts, who I was never been a Xander Bogaerts guy. I'm like, I'm all good average, but the power keeps declining, runs a little bit. Like he feels like a rich man's Carlos Correa. That's what it felt like when, you know, most of your shortstops, if you draft them like a round or two earlier, getting 20-20, maybe 30-20 something. And so I'm like, well, if I just want that profile and I'm okay in batting average, I'll just get Willy Adames' 30 home runs later, or I'll get Jeremy Pena, who could come up. So that's just my mindset as I was drafting, knowing the player pool and everything. So Xander is just never on my board, and just watching what he's done so far, the hard hit rate's not bad. The barrel rate's really good for Xander. He's already got a couple home runs, double or two, and the average is great, which you expect from him, but it's the power production already that's coming into play. Put him in that big boy lineup in San Diego, and it does help. You know, he's facing some bottom feeders in the NL West, but Xander Bogaerts would be one of them.
I'm really fascinated by that, because check this out. I, in the preseason, in the Fantasy Black Book, kind of wrote up why it wasn't really opinion in the Black Book. I was just giving profiles, so it wasn't like, hey, I think blah, blah, blah. But I was kind of leaning towards like, hey, I think Xander Bogaerts might be kind of a deal. And I kind of liked him in the preseason. Well, guess what? On Fantasy Pros, I just did a trade video, which everyone can go find out in a podcast. And I highlighted Xander Bogaerts as a trade guy. Cool. That I really love what you just said.
You could get a lot for him right now, for sure.
And that's my point with it, because mm-hmm. I love what you just said, a rich man's Carlos Correa. Here was my mm-hmm. problem with it. There's no early signs of him stealing bases when everybody else is. And he's never, I think once in his career was it, I'm trying to forget what I cited, that he's hit 25 homers or more. Once.
That was my problem. Yeah, that was my problem.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then
this fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Get on the grid, sportsgrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League.
It has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
Really? But that's my problem with it now. I actually don't think a lot of that has changed. The powerful lineup is great. I think the RBI run totals could come up a little bit. But I think a perception on him is, oh my God, are we now going to be 30, 35 homers? I don't actually buy it. It's possible, but I think you can sell him higher for the cost right now. And if he does overperform, I don't think you're really going to be crazy disappointed if you oversold on him.
What if I told you this, though? Because, you know, all the crazy and speculations that everyone thinks maybe there's the bouncy ball back and whatnot, something close to it. In 2019, 33 homers, 110 runs, 117 RBIs, 4 steals, and a 309 average. I'm not saying he's going to do that. Well, let's just like say 27 home runs, 95 runs scored, 95 RBIs, 300, because he's going to do that. It's pretty darn good.
It's pretty darn good. I think a median, let's see with the Bat X. The Bat X has him at 22.6 and 280. That's kind of where I think he's going to land. But you're getting at here is the reason why I signify him as maybe a trade guy right now, is because I think you can sell him on 3,100, 100. I guess you would be disappointed if you sold and he did perform at that level, because you're not going to sell him at that cost, but that's going to boost it up. But it's interesting just because, like, you were out, you're in, I was in, and I'm not necessarily out, but I think he's a prime take advantage of the early season.
I don't disagree with taking advantage of that at all. Yeah. And I'm not like fully in, but I'm like, okay, I respect the people that took the value on him in draft day now. Like, yeah, okay, he's real. He's real. And I'm acknowledging my faults right out the gate.
Well, that's what we're all about. It's like therapy. We're doing this fantasy therapy right now. Who's the pitcher that you got? If you tell me Jeffrey Springs you weren't in on, I'm kicking you off the podcast.
Oh, no, I was all in on Jeffrey Springs. But okay, I'm an even bigger believer on Jeffrey Springs now, because I was the guy I was going to write. Yeah, like, I was already all in. And I know you and DVR talked about it recently, and me and Bloomfield talked about it because he does all his Bloom boards. And like, after the first 2 weeks, like the New York and the Vegas main events, the biggest ADP riser was Jeffrey Springs.
Yeah.
And we were all, and you saw it all over Twitter and everything. You're like, we know he's good. Like, we've been hyping him up all preseason. Everybody across the industry has. What made the hype, like the jump in ADP? What was it? Well, I'm not saying people knew this was going to happen, but pretty darn impressive stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I remember he jumped in. That's one of the few that I like, that felt good, because I was super crazy early on him being one of my favorite players, and then everybody came in. That's like, I don't need to be right about it, but it's cool validation. Even if he sucks the rest of the way, I'll be like, oh, that's cool that like I was doing something right in that people came onto that same train. But that's not your guy. So who's the buy-in pitcher?